Reading number 658 in the back of your hymn books, reading number 658 about eternal life. Amen. We need to remind ourselves of the Word of God and what the Word of God has to say to us about eternal life. 658. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He who believes in the Son hath eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God rests upon him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me hath eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but hath passed from death to life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, that they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who hath the Son hath life. He who has not the Son does not have life. I write this unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding to know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Amen. God bless the reading and hearing of his word amongst his people today. Praise be to God. Father, we are thankful, God, that you have given us everything. Lord, as we begin to think of what we... it's beyond words. Even the preacher stumbles when he starts to think about where to start to give you thanks and praise. Lord, we thank you for life. We do thank you for answered prayer. Thank you for Sherry's boys being in church today. Thank you, Lord, for the favor of God in allowing them to come. Thank you, Lord God, for others that are out there that are, God, your heart, your touched their heart. You've pulled them. You've tugged on them. Your sovereign grace has been moving in their lives. Lord, we've seen it at the drop-in every week and last and on the Friday night again, how that, God, you are reaching, you're doing stuff. Lord, help us to be available and willing to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for our missionaries that are doing just that. We pray, God, that you would uphold them by your righteous right hand. Lord, that you would protect them from the evil one and you would cause their ways to prosper. Father God, we pray, Lord, for those that serve you even locally in other institutions and other parachurch ministries that we support from this church. We lift them up to you. We do pray for those that lead us in our nation, and we pray, God, for righteousness to be exalted in this nation. And Father, we pray, Father God, for each family that is not here today. They're traveling, they're doing various things, or they're sick. We pray, God, that they would sense your presence in a very near and dear way. Thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that we have been given to serve you, including serving you by giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Dan, I'm going to give him lots of time to share today. I'm going to call the praise team back at this time to lead us in worship again before Pastor Dan comes to preach the Word of God. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, team, for leading us this morning. Some of you know that over the last few weeks at Harmony, we've been kind of doing a bit of a series on some foundational truths, things that we as a church hold to and believe in. And you know, I'm passionate about truth. And when I talk about truth, you can't help but talking about doctrine. And doctrine really is just another way to say teaching or a set of beliefs. So I'm passionate about truth because in John 8:32, Jesus said that truth brings freedom. And I believe that the more that we are established in truth as a church, the more that we will experience freedom. And freedom is something that we should desire, something that we should want for ourselves, but also for others. So even when I'm sharing truth this morning, it's not just so that you would be free. It's so that you would take the truth that you learn and share it with those around you so that they could experience freedom. And this morning I want to talk about something that's going to hit you personally, but it's also going to touch on your neighbors and your coworkers and your friends. Because when we deal with the subject of providence, there are questions that rise up in our hearts and questions that your neighbors are asking or thinking in their heads. And we need to have answers to these questions. We need to know how to respond. Because if we don't, then conversations are stopped. I remember when I was 18 and working construction. Actually, my cousin Nathan here, he got me that job. He just phoned me up randomly. It was Providence. He just phoned me up and said, "Hey, Dan, do you need a job?" And I said, "Absolutely, I need a job." And I went and I started this job in construction. And I've been in that trade ever since. So it was Providence that Nate phoned me up, and it's kind of cool that he's here today. But in that time when I was working construction, I would have these conversations with guys all the time, and they were asking me these questions, really important questions that were hard for me as an 18-year-old who had been in the church my whole life, but was facing things that I'd never really thought about before. And they forced me to start researching and investigating and trying to find answers. And, you know, I'm still on a journey of discovering the truth that's in this word. But the questions that they asked are significant and important. Questions about, well, if God is so concerned with creation and with my life, well, then why have I experienced so much suffering? Why is there so much pain? Why are children starving and there's malnutrition and AIDS is destroying lives around the world, and we hear about terrorist attacks, and we hear about murder and rape and shootings in schools, and we hear about all these things, and there's so much suffering, there's so much evil, there's so much pain. Because when we look at the definition of providence, and a really simple definition is divine guidance or care. Divine guidance or care. So when I say that word providence, I'm talking about God's activity and concern in the world. His concern and care and His activity in the world. And there are really two categories for providence. When we talk about providence, there's God's activity amongst the created world apart from humanity. I mean, I'm talking about the sun and the stars, the planet Earth that we live on, the lakes and the oceans. What is God's involvement in the universe? Did God just create the universe and then just kind of let it go and exist in its own natural laws? And is he separate? Is he not really too concerned? I mean, what we do to the earth, it's going to destroy it, or it's going to make it better. It has nothing to do with God. God is just separate from that. There's questions about the earth that we need to answer. I'm going to look a little bit about that, talk about that. But really the one that I'm going to address more specifically is God's involvement in humanity, God's activity in our lives, His activity in lives of those who don't believe in God. What is God doing? Is He involved intricately, meticulously, or is He separate and just letting things kind of go the way that they're supposed to, or the way that we determine them to go? There's some important questions. So before I get into this, I want to pray, because I need to pray. So Father, I just pray that you would help me this morning, that you would help me to speak your truth with clarity and boldness. Father, I pray that your word would be magnified in our hearts, that your spirit, Lord, would touch down in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives, Lord, and that it would just bring forth freedom. Because, Lord, I believe that when we establish our heart, our lives and our hearts in truth, we experience freedom. Freedom from addiction, freedom from bondage, freedom from fear, freedom from anxiety and stress and worries. Lord, your truth can bring freedom to our hearts and our minds. I pray that you would establish freedom to an even greater level in every life today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing I want to talk about is God's activity amongst creation. Because the created world we live in, there are those who are fearful of where the world is going based on things that are said. You know, there's lots of talk in Canada about global warming, climate change. The liberals just love to hammer on climate change and take advantage of it. Taxes, more taxes. And I'm not a weather expert. I'm not going to go into global warming and all these types of things. But I want to share a little bit about something that I think can bring us peace of mind in relation to the universe. So let's read a few verses here, speaking about God's activity in creation. Hebrews 1:3 says this, that Christ upholds all things by the power of his word. By the word of his power, when he made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So I kind of jumped right into that, so forgive me for not letting you get there, but I got a lot of scripture that I got to cover this morning. This is a big topic, so if you want to buckle your seatbelt, we're going to go for a little bit of a ride this morning. But Hebrews 1:3, it says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. And the word there, uphold, it's in Greek, it means, it's pharaoh, which means to carry or to bear. In other places in scripture, you find this word being used. For example, in Luke 5:18, it says that they brought the paralyzed man to Jesus, that they pharaohed him to Jesus, they carried him to Jesus. Or when the man brought the wine to the steward at the wedding feast, he carried the wine. He pharaohed the wine. This word has this idea of active, purposeful control. Carrying something from one place to another. Active, purposeful control. God is carrying the universe. That Christ is holding it together by the power of his word. Later in Colossians 1:16-17, I'll read it for you. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together. And even in Acts 17:23, it says, for in him we live and move and exist. These verses speak about the active, purposeful activity of God in creation, that he's holding the universe together with his hands. And that if God was to say, you know what, you can just, earth, be separate, it would just collapse. It would fall apart. Every breath that we breathe is a gift from God. In the book of Job, Elihu says, if it were his intention and we withdrew his spirit and breath, all mankind would perish together and man would return to the dust. If he withdrew his activity amongst creation and in our lives, we would perish. The earth would collapse. everything would fall apart. He holds it together. And this reveals something really incredible, because some people think, well, God just, he's created natural laws, and you know, everything kind of exists because, yeah, God spoke it into existence, but he created the universe to sustain itself. And there's partial truth in that. But the reality is that without God's active participant, just purposeful speaking, when he tells the sun when to set and tells the sun when to rise, he tells every raindrop where to fall. He tells the flowers to bloom. He tells the grass when to grow. God is actively involved in every aspect of creation. And that, it should blow our minds to think that God would say, rain, you fall now, right here. He tells every flower to bloom, that they all exist by the power of his word, that he speaks, that these things are happening because God is so orchestrating them to happen. That the God that we serve is so powerful, so mighty, that he tells the rain where to fall. And this, it should blow our minds, because we sometimes can think that just everything's just kind of going and God is just separate. But no, that's not the truth. God is actively involved. And what that should do for us is establish peace in our hearts. Because yes, we as humans can make decisions that have negative impacts on the environment and things like that. But friends, I'm not fearful of climate change or global warming, whatever they're saying in the news. I don't fear those things, because God is controlling everything. And it's not us who decide when the world is going to collapse. It's God. And there is coming a day when God will wipe the earth clean and recreate the world, and we'll be living in a new earth, a new paradise, free from decay and destruction. But there's something that also needs to be said about this, in that, well, actually, I'll share that a little bit later. But I'll share, because some people have questions about natural disasters. And I've talked about this at Harmony before, but when you talk to people, they can sometimes wonder, well, that tsunami that killed hundreds of thousands of people, that's a natural thing. That's the world. Why did God do that? Did God stir that? If God is so actively just involved in all of creation, then that tsunami, that was God's doing. So then God is calling judgment on these situations. Well, there's some answers to those questions. I'm not going to say them right now, but because when we get into the humanity, the God's activity in humanity, we find some answers to even questions about natural disasters. But let's get into the subject of humanity, God's involvement in humanity. And really, when you talk about God's creation and his involvement in creation, there is some disagreement. You know, there definitely is. Anytime you get in a circle with seven different people, they're all going to have their ideas about God, and even theologians, PhDs, they're going to have different opinions and ideas about the creation. But really, when you get into God's involvement in humanity, his activity in your life, in the life of the unbeliever, well, then we get major disagreements. We get heated arguments. And really, throughout, I could go through the church history. I looked through the church history of this and kind of the development of the argument through the years, and kind of how we've come to this place where, honestly, now when you talk about providence and humanity, we get categorized into these two terms: Calvinist and Arminian. Maybe you've heard of those terms before. Whether you have or not, it's not really important. All you need to know is the Calvinists are right. No. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I'm actually neither a Calvinist nor an Arminian. But the truth is that we put ourselves in either category. And just to give you a brief, and really to try to summarize a Calvinist and try to summarize an Arminian, it's almost futile, because there are so many variances and so many kind of just differing opinions even about Calvinists and about Arminians. And there's lots of But the reality is that for a Calvinist is someone that believes that God is meticulously ordering everything in the universe, even down to people's decisions about faith in God. That he is ordering everything very meticulously. That there is nothing outside of God's order and control. Whereas an Arminian believes that God is ordering the universe, but there is a certain amount of freedom that we have in our choices and when it comes to our faith.
Amen.
So, we at Harmony are an Arminian church. We hold to some Arminian principles. The EMCC has an Arminian background. But I want to suggest to you this morning that it's not an either-or issue. It's not either Calvinist or either Arminian, that it can be a both and. That there are truths that exist in both camps. But let's look to the scripture. Let's see what the Bible says about God's activity in humanity. His guiding, his care amongst us, his creation. And I'm going to rip through some verses, so if you can follow in your Bible, you're very skilled. Ephesians 1:11. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Proverbs 20:24. Man's steps are ordered by the Lord. How can man understand his way? Proverbs 16:9. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Psalm 139:16. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your books were all written the days that were ordered for me, when as yet there was not one of them. John 15:5. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, and his limits you have set so that he cannot pass. And friends, I hope that when you hear these verses, you see something. That God is actively involved in all of humanity. That he is ordering the steps of his creation. That's you and me. And that one verse that just, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Whoa. That God is directing your steps, whether you recognize it or not. And friends, that can be a really tremendously empowering and peaceful thing. And it should be that for us. It should give us this confidence and assurance that God is leading me, he's guiding me, he's directing me. But then it also should do something and raise some questions. Like, wait a second. I've made some pretty stupid decisions. Done some really bad things. Hurt people, said things. Is God directing my steps in those areas? Well, what about, okay, let's take this one step further. If God is directing the steps of humanity, what about World War II? What about Hitler? What about genocide? What about in Sudan when thousands of lives were snatched up? What about murder and rape and these types of questions that is God, what's God doing? Where is God in this? Is God involved in these things? Because if you read these verses, people can jump to conclusions. They can jump to things that God is not intending. And I want to turn back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis. And I believe within the book of Genesis we find answers to questions about providence, questions about suffering, questions about pain and evil. Because the reality is that God in the beginning created a paradise for us to live in. It was wonderful. There was no suffering. There was no pain. There was no death. There was no disease. It was paradise. And he made Adam and Eve to live in the garden, the first man and the first woman. But he gave them an important command. In verses 2:27 of Genesis, he said, "Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." God gave humanity the freedom of choice. He gave them the ability to choose life, to choose abundance, to choose blessings with God in His presence, or to choose their own way, to choose independence from God, to choose a life that said, "I want to be my own God. I want to know everything. I want to make my own decisions. I want to go about my own way." And we know the story that Adam and Eve, they chose independence from God. They disobeyed God. And with that came spiritual, emotional, and physical death. And even beyond that, it says in Genesis 3:17 that the ground became cursed because of humanity's decision to rebel, to choose their own way. In Isaiah 24:4-5 reads this. This is a really powerful verse. "The earth suffers for the sins of its people, for they have twisted God's instructions, violated His laws, and broken His everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must pay the price for their sin." When you hear news about climate change and global warming, there is some truth in those things, that the world is, in a sense, suffering. And it's because of our sin. Disease, destruction, chaos, suffering and pain, free will is at the heart of it. If there was no free will, God could have just, you know, He could have said to Adam and Eve, "Here's this garden, enjoy the benefits of my, of just who I am, which is love and goodness and kindness, live in paradise." And never given them the option of that tree. They would have never known. They would have had no choice. There would have been no choice. They would have known nothing else. But God, He allowed humans to make decisions that would ultimately bring into the world suffering and pain. Let me read for you what Augustine of Hippo, he's an old church father, theologian, but he wrote this: "For the Almighty God, who, as even the heathen acknowledge, has supreme power over all things, being Himself supremely good, would never permit the existence of anything evil among His works if it were not so omnipotent or all-knowing and good that He can bring good even out of evil." God allowed evil to enter the world, allowed suffering and pain because of our free will, but knowing that there was a plan that He had in place, a plan to heal the land, a plan to heal our hearts and to bring resolution to suffering and pain. God had a plan. We're still left with questions. Questions about, okay, so evil and suffering, we know that they really were established in the freedom of our choices. But what about God's activity now? Couldn't God do more to stop some of the suffering? Why isn't God intervening more? Why doesn't He step in? Is God silent? Absolutely not. But I want to read for you a quote from A.W. Tozer. And it's a quote that has helped me understand a little bit of the dynamic for what's happening in the universe and the suffering and the pain. Because, friends, the reality is this, I believe, that the scriptures reveal this unequivocally, that the universe, that the ultimate will of God can never be thwarted. See, some people think, well, because he's given us free will, we can then mess up God's plans. We can throw a wrench in his idea and his plans for humanity, right? That we and our choices can somehow stop God from accomplishing his ultimate will because of our sin. No way. But I will say this, that his moral will, and this can be a helpful distinction for us, that we cannot stop or break the ultimate will of God, but we can absolutely break the moral will of God. See, the moral will of God says that he desires that all. Well, let me read for you the verse in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God's desire is that all reach repentance, but do all? No, they do not. His moral will is that all be saved, that all would have everlasting life. His moral will for Adam and Eve was that they live in the Garden of Eden and not eat from the tree. He said, don't eat from this tree. His moral will was that they not fall into sin and experience death and destruction and suffering and pain. He knew what was going to happen if they ate from the tree, so he said, don't do it. But he gave us the freedom to choose. So his moral will can be broken, but his ultimate will cannot. That God is directing the steps of all of us to a certain end, a certain climax. But let me read for you a quote from A.W. Tozer that really helped me understand this, and I hope it helps you a little as well. An ocean liner leaves New York bound for Liverpool. Its destination has been determined by proper authorities. On board the liner are several scores of passengers. These are not in chains, neither are they activities determined by them by decree. They are completely free to move about as they will. They eat, sleep, play, lounge about in the deck, read, talk, altogether as they please. But all the while, the great liner is carrying them steadily onward toward a predetermined port. Both freedom and sovereignty are present here, and they do not contradict each other. So it is, I believe, that man's freedom and sovereignty, I believe that a man's freedom and sovereignty of God, the mighty liner of God's sovereign design, keeps its steady course over the sea of history. God moves undisturbed and unhindered toward the fulfillment of those eternal purposes which he purposed in Christ Jesus before the world began. We do not know all that is included in those purposes, but enough has been disclosed to furnish us with a broad outline of things to come and to give us good hope and firm assurance of future well-being. We know that God will fulfill every promise made to the prophets. We know that sinners will someday be cleansed out of the earth. We know that a ransomed company will enter into the joy of God and that the righteous will shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. We know that God's perfections will yet receive universal acclamation, that all created intelligence will own Jesus Christ Lord to the glory of the Father, that the present imperfect order will be done away and a new heaven and new earth be established forever. Toward all this, God is moving with infinite wisdom and perfect precision of action. No one can dissuade him from his purposes. Nothing turn him aside from his plans. Since he is omniscient, there can be no unforeseen circumstance, no accidents. As he is sovereign, there can be no countermanded orders, no breakdown in authority. And as he is omnipotent, there can be no want of power to achieve his chosen ends. God is sufficient unto himself for all things. God is orchestrating the steps of humanity. He is taking us in a specific direction. That direction will be one day that he will come again. He will cleanse the earth. Those that have put their faith and trust in him will be reestablished on earth. And those that have rejected Christ will be cast away into the lake of fire with Satan and his demons. There is a definite end that God is leading us towards. There's nothing that's going to stop that from happening. No decision that you make or I make. But yet there still remains, could there be still remaining questions about God's providential activity? Because friends, there are tough questions that people will ask of us. And we could say all these things, and yet there's still that nagging little bit of that question. Well, why does God intervene in certain situations but not others? Why does God heal some of cancer but not others? Why do some seem to suffer so much and yet some have so, in what we would perceive as an easy life? Some who are completely healthy, who have heart attacks and die. Some who are completely unhealthy, who have heart attacks and live. What is happening? Is there a way that we can understand some of these complex questions? And friends, I want to say to you today that I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. There is a certain element of God's providence that we need to declare as just beyond our human understanding. And yes, there are things that I could talk about, reasons for certain things. But reality is let's just own up to the mystery. That there is a certain mystery to the providence of God. And John Stackhouse Jr. writes this: one must run away from the mysteries of God's providence, about which we cannot know enough to understand, and run towards Jesus Christ, in whom we find God adequately revealed. You see, there are mysteries about suffering that we can never truly understand. But I tell you what, there is someone that we can understand, and his name is Jesus. And that he desires to be in relationship with us. That he desires to reveal to us his love for us. And friends, when I say, why doesn't God intervene more? Well, let me just say something. God did intervene in one of the most incredibly powerful ways possible. He came to earth on a rescue mission. God intervened in the midst of our suffering. No, God just didn't intervene. He entered into our suffering. That Jesus came to earth on a rescue mission, entering into our suffering. And he went to the cross, bearing our sin. The weight of our sin was on his shoulders. And he went to the cross, taking the punishment that you and I deserved. And friends, Jesus intervened. God intervened. He entered into our suffering so that we could be released from the bondage and the captivity of sin and selfishness. This is what Christ did. He did intervene. He gave us a way to experience victory and freedom. And friends, there is no promise in Scripture that you will not experience suffering as a believer. To the contrary, it says that you will be persecuted. You will experience suffering. Oftentimes, for those who choose to walk a life with God, their life gets more difficult. Things get harder. Things get more challenging. You know, we in Canada, we maybe don't quite grasp this to the same level as those who are being heavily persecuted in countries where to worship God openly would mean just death. To choose to follow God, for some, it ends badly. Look at the disciples. All the 12, except for John, who was he was stranded on an island to live out the rest of his life. But the 11 were persecuted. They were martyred. They were killed for their faith. It didn't end well for them. But friends, here's the beauty. That this earth is but a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. And what is to come is so much more glorious, so much more beautiful. Romans 8:18, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. Friends, if you're experiencing trial and tribulation because of your faith in Christ, maybe not to the same level as some who are living in Muslim-heavy areas where ISIS is attacking churches and those types of things, but we still experience trials in our own way. But friends, what's to come, it doesn't compare to what's to come for us. Christ has purchased for us eternal life. But not only that, not just then, but also for now, for today. He gives us something. He gives us the promise of His presence. The promise that He will walk with us. That He'll journey with us through every trial, through every storm. That there is joy available to us for those who enter into relationship with Jesus. And I know that many of you know this. This is just review for you guys. But I would hope that it would encourage you and inspire you. And I say this also to equip you. Because you're going to get questions about suffering and pain. And you can have answers. You can say, absolutely, let's talk about this. And you can go to Genesis. And you can say that free will brought really into the world suffering and pain and heartache. And you can show them the verses where God, He is love and He cares about us. And because of His love, He gave us this freedom. Because friends, like a father who loves his child, does a father lock his child up in his room and say, you're going to stay here because I don't want you leaving. I don't want you going out into that dark, dark world. It's not safe for you out there. So you're staying here. You have no choice. I know what's best for you. You stay right here. Oh yeah, and by the way, I really love you. I care about you so much. Just know that and understand that, and locks the door on the way out. Is that real love? Is it genuine love? God is love. His very nature is love. And that love demanded that God give us the freedom of choice. That He says to His child, I love you. I want you home. I want you here. But the door is open. You can walk out at any time. And many choose to walk out that door. And we know from the prodigal son, the story in Scripture where it says that the father looks out over the horizon. Every day looking to see if his child's going to come home. If his child's going to come home. And we know the beautiful story that the father runs to meet his child. But friends, God has opened the door for us. And we can choose to stay in the blessing of God's presence and be at home. Or we can choose to walk away. And we can share these things with people. We can tell them from the Scriptures things that God reveals. But at the same time, what all of this should be leading us to is the hope of Jesus, that He has intervened in the suffering of this world, that He is not distant, that He is close, that He wants to be in relationship with us, that He wants to set our hearts free. Free from bondage, free from addictions, from alcohol and pornography and nicotine. Addictions that enslave us and hold us back. Addictions to television and to video games. Addictions that hold us down and restrain us. He sets us free from fear and bondage and anxiety and worry. He can establish our lives in just tremendous victory and in purity. That He offers to us a relief from suffering. Not that it's not there, but that in the midst of it we cling to our Savior who holds us tight and says that we're going to make it to the other side. I'm so thankful for Jesus. That He stepped into this world, that He stepped into our suffering so that we could have victory. Victory over pain. Victory. Victory. So Father, I thank You so much. I thank You for Your word. I thank You that That in your scripture you reveal something so profound. That you care about us. That you're actively involved in all of creation. That you're directing our steps. And yet in that you give us the freedom to make choices. Choices that can harm us. Choices that can harm others. But you allow those things because you love us. You've given us a freedom. But, Lord, I thank you that you weren't just content to just let the earth go and exist on its own. That, God, that you were so near and that you actually stepped down onto earth, stepping into suffering, so that you could be that high priest who understands our pain, not just from a distance, but from very personal experience. What a Savior, what a God you are. That you would do these things for us. And Lord, I also want to just say that there is a mystery to your providence. And Lord, I pray that for us in this church, that we would not get angry at you, God, for things that we can't understand, things that we don't know or don't comprehend. But God, we would embrace the mystery and we would say that in time you will open our eyes to see and all things will be made clear. That we would trust you. We would trust your plans. We would trust your sovereignty. And that it would give our hearts peace and rest. So Father, help us to move forward in confidence that you are in control. And that we can trust you. And that no matter what life throws our way, you're holding us fast and you'll take us through to the other side. Jesus, we love you. We celebrate you this morning. And I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.